All right, if you take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings and chapter 3. First Kings chapter 3, and once you get there, we're going to begin reading in verse 16, and we'll read through verse 28. It says, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king," and the king here is Solomon, "and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, there was no stranger within the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but my son, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. For they saw that the woman, that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And I trust and pray as we open the scriptures this morning that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and help us to understand the lesson that you have for us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now that's quite a story, isn't it? That is a well-known story. That is a classic Bible story. But you know, one of the problems with classic Bible stories is that we often learn the primary lesson, but we fail to see the rest of the story. Now, of course, this incident is used of God to show that he had given Solomon the wisdom that he requested as king. And it proves that wisdom comes from God. It's a picture of what James says over in James 1:5, when he says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But this story also provides us with more than that. We want to look this morning at the moral of the story. And we want to look at what I'm going to call this morning morals of motherhood. And this story provides them to us from a very unlikely source. Now, the first moral of motherhood from the story is this. You ready? Number one, there is no such thing as a perfect mother. Now, I don't say that to discourage mothers, but to build them up. I believe no one needs to be treated with more tenderness than our mother, because there is no one that is more caring and more considerate than our mother. And sometimes we are too hard on them, and sometimes they are too hard on themselves. Now, these two mothers in this story were prostitutes, and their babies were evidently conceived under sinful circumstances. And that kind of grabs your attention, makes you sit up in your church pew and take notice. And it causes you to wonder. It causes you to ask the question, why? Why did Solomon, with all of his vast responsibilities as the king of God's chosen people, why did Solomon even take the time to concern himself with these two prostitutes? These women and the sinful men that paid for their services were living out of God's will, and they were living lives that were in direct opposition to God's word. So why? Why did Solomon take the time to concern himself with these two prostitutes? Here's the answer. Solomon was concerned about these two women because God was concerned about them. Now, I know that I don't have to convince you that the church should stand for moral purity. That goes without saying. But you know, the church should also stand for forgiveness and restoration. These women were not living up to God's ideals, to say the least. They were living very wicked and sinful lives. Yet, God still loved them, because God loves all sinners. You know, if any of us had to wait for God to love us based on our performance, we would be out of luck. It's because God's standard is perfection. And none of us are perfect. We're all sinners, right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's no such thing as a perfect mother, just like there aren't any perfect ones among the rest of us. And if there's anyone in the world who should be willing, whom we should be willing to overlook their faults, it should be our mother. Why? Because they have overlooked so many of our faults. Let me share with you a story. I was about 13 years old, and my mom and dad had just purchased a brand new living room set. It was white velour. It had not been in our house 20 minutes. The delivery man, the truck delivered it 20 minutes. My sister, my younger sister, was sitting on the couch. And I don't know what she said. She said something to aggravate me, like all sisters do, you know. And, my mother had just made chocolate pudding. And then she made the chocolate pudding, and she went across the street to go see my grandmother. My grandparents lived across the street. Well, I took a bowl of that chocolate pudding and jokingly went to my sister sitting on that white couch. And I said, "What would you do if I dumped this all over you?" Just joking. And I did this. One, two. And on two, that pudding came flying out of that bowl and landed on that brand new white velour living room couch. My dad was due home in a half hour. I knew what was going to happen. I knew. So we called my mother. She ran home, and that woman scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed and got that chocolate pudding out of that couch. I don't know how she did it. But for a week, that cushion was wet. So every time my dad went in the living room, we went in and we sat on the wet cushion so he wouldn't notice it. My mother kept that hidden from my dad for 30 years before he found out. 30 years. You know what that is? That's an example of what Peter talks about in 1 Peter 4:8. Charity covers the multitude of sins. But that's how moms are, right? That's how moms are. That's just part of their nature. We should be willing to overlook faults in our mom because our mom has overlooked so many of our faults. And so we need to lighten up on mom a little, and moms need to lighten up on themselves a little. I think moms need to laugh. Moms need to be full of joy. Now, let me give you just a few things that I hope will cause you to laugh and bring you some joy. Have you ever heard of the series Children's Letters to God? I love that series. It's so funny. Actual letters that children wrote to God. I'm just going to share a few lines from some of them with you. Well, I love this one. Dear God, I read the Bible. What does begat mean? Nobody will tell me. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? Dear God, I went to this wedding, and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. I like that one. Dear God, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp this year. Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love everybody in the world. There are only 4 people in my family and I can't do it. Dear God, I didn't think orange went with purple until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday. That was cool. That was cool. I like reading that book because it just kind of makes you laugh. And, you know, it's the kind of things that mothers appreciate because they hear their children say all kinds of funny things as they raise them. And I just think it's good for moms to laugh, you know, just to focus their attention on things that make them smile, and they need to do that as a regular habit. Being a mother has some serious things involved in it, and that's why you need to take time to laugh. See, my view is this: life is too short, and God is too good for me to go around frowning all the time. And I think that's the way everybody needs to feel, except mothers. Moms, remember this. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So step back, lighten up, laugh a little bit. And will you remember this? Nobody expects you to be perfect. Nobody expects you to be perfect. So that's one thing that kind of comes out of this story. There's no such thing as a perfect mother. But here's the second moral of the story. Here's another moral of motherhood from the story. Number 2, God has answers for mothers' problems. Now, can I just be honest and say this to you this morning? Don't look for stress-free motherhood. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. From the pains of giving birth to the empty nest to grandchildren and beyond, motherhood is stressful. And once again, I'm not mentioning that to discourage anyone because there's good news. And the good news is God is willing and able to assist moms in the problems that they encounter. You see, God did not give Solomon wisdom just so people could stand around the palace and say, ooh, and ah, and isn't our king so wise? No, he gave his wisdom for a purpose. See, God not only loved those 2 prostitute mothers, he also loved the little baby in the story. And God dispatched his wisdom to Solomon to spare the child. And so I want you to know this. He has wisdom to spare for parenting responsibilities. And he can guide you. And he can provide moms in all kinds of situations, right? Birth moms, adoptive moms, step moms, grandmoms, and moms of in all kinds of special situations. He can provide the wisdom they need. God has wisdom to give you for the task of being a mom. He can teach you what you should say. He can teach you what you should do in every situation. His promise in Proverbs, in Psalm 32:8 is, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And so he can teach you and guide you in every situation. He can give you the wisdom you need. All you have to do is ask for it, just like Solomon did. Right? You got to ask for it. In Jeremiah 33:3, our Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So if you got something you don't know when it comes to being a mother or a parent in general, go to God, call on him, ask for his help and his guidance. He says, I will answer thee. And as we read, as I mentioned in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The word liberally there means God has wisdom to spare, plenty for everybody. And then when it says he upbraideth not, that means he's not going to ridicule you for coming and asking for his wisdom. He's not going to look at you and say, oh, how foolish you must be to not be able to figure this out on your own. No, he wants to give you wisdom. He can teach you what to do. He can teach you what to say in every situation. He can give you wisdom. You just have to ask for it. Ask for it. Now, here's the third and final moral for mothers this morning. Number three, there is nothing like a mother's love. See, the real mother in this story would rather see another woman raise her child than see it split in two. You have to be willing to give up some things to be a good mother. The truth is, personal sacrifice is a pivotal part of motherhood. It begins by sacrificing their own bodies by carrying the child around in their womb for 9 months. No mother's child ought to ever get over that sacrifice. Our mother fed us, nourished, and protected us with their own bodies before we even saw the light of day. I don't know anyone who would love me enough to carry me around for 9 months other than my mother. But you know, a mother's sacrifice doesn't end there. They keep on giving. They give up sleep for midnight feedings. They give up sleep for sick children. They give up their own personal goals to help their children achieve their goals. Ask yourself how many times you got a new outfit and mom wore the same old clothes. Or how many times she gave you the last helping at supper. See, there is nothing like a mother's love. It is a sacrificial love. It's the kind of love that puts the needs of others above personal need. And we ought to appreciate it. And so today we honor mothers for all the giving that they do. But I think the reason that we honor them the most is because they remind us of God's love. Because God's love is also a sacrificial and giving love. And that kind of love should not go unnoticed or unappreciated. Think about it. He gave his only begotten son to shed his blood and die on an old rugged cross and be raised again for a world of wayward children. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And over in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We respond to our moms with great love and appreciation. And we need to respond to the God who created motherhood the same way. We need to show our appreciation for the great love he showed in sending his Son by opening up our heart and trusting in Christ as our Savior and Lord. That is the proper response to God's love. So let's review quickly here. Number one, there's no such thing as a perfect mother. As a matter of fact, there's no such thing as a perfect anybody except for God, right? We are all sinners. But moms need to be appreciated and honored for the love they give and for the sacrifices they make. And then number two, God has answers for mothers' problems. And he has answers for everybody's problem. He has plenty of wisdom to go around. We just have to ask for it. We just have to ask for it. And number three, there is nothing like a mother's love, because it is a picture of the sacrificial love that God showed in sending his Son to be our Savior. Now we know that the main point of this story is to show us how God did actually give Solomon the wisdom that he asked for. But what I've given you this morning is what the famous newscaster from the past, Paul Harvey, would give you. I gave you the rest of the story. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for these truths. Thank you for our moms and for all that they do in our lives and for the blessing they are. Lord, I pray that you'd help the ladies in this room to be the very best moms they could be. Help them never be afraid to seek their guidance, their direction, their leadership from you. Theirs is sometimes an overwhelming task. And so, Father, we ask you to send your help their way. But also, Lord, I pray that you'd fill it with joy, because there is no joy that comes along like watching your children grow and develop and become all they can be. And so, Father, I pray that you just bless our moms and help us to honor them, treat them well, and show them our love each and every day. But we also thank you, Lord, for the love that you showed in sending Christ all the way from heaven down to this earth to be our Savior. And I trust and pray that nobody will leave this room today without having experienced that love in a personal way by opening up their heart and inviting Christ in to wash their sins away and give them everlasting life and a home in heaven. Don't let anybody leave here today, Lord, without knowing for sure that they know Christ as their Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.